I'm grateful to the Lord that I can be here today. I actually had other plans. Sometimes the German saying comes through, man thinks, God directs. We may have plans, and then suddenly they change. I would like to use this evening to simply talk with us here about what concerns us, what has already happened, and what can still happen for the glory of the Lord, so that we really include everyone and that everyone feels comfortable in our midst. Before we go into that briefly, I would like to highlight the four scriptures we have heard. It is just so wonderful to know that we are called by God, carried by God, guided by Him, and that He who leads us out also leads us in. It may be through the desert, through drought, through many depths, but we have the promise that we will reach our destination. And especially from Exodus 19, this very important passage, and Brother Winsky has emphasized it. In the Old Testament, no one was allowed to meet the Lord, otherwise he would have had to die. In the New Testament, those who do not encounter him remain in death. In the Old Testament, when the Lord passed by Moses in his glory, he allowed Moses to see the back of the Lord. He was not allowed to see his face. Through the law, God had condemned mankind, turned away from them, and thus did not show them his face, but his back. In the New Testament, it is quite different. In the New Testament, he took all our sins upon himself and bore them. It has also been emphasized that he carried us to himself, called us, lifted us up, led us out, and made us his very special possession. The Lord says here literally, I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Not just to a place, not just to a mountain, not just to a prophet. He brought the people to himself in order to speak to them there. It was not one man whom God had called. It was an entire people. He merely used individuals to speak through them. What is striking here is important in two ways. Moses was the mediator between God and the people. He conveyed to the people what God had instructed him to do for the people, and he returned to God and brought the living God the people's response. He was a mediator. You can read about this in Acts, what is it, chapter 7 or chapter 8. There the man of God explains in a wonderful way that he was a mediator. Acts chapter 7 from verse 35. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us. There were indeed men of God who were specially commissioned, and Moses was one of them. He had no message of his own, no work of his own. He was part of what God was doing at that time. He had the word of God for the people, and he then conveyed the people's response to the Lord. I really like what is written at the end of verse 9. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And we too must ask ourselves what answer we can give to the Lord. We must give the Lord an answer. When he speaks, an answer must follow. The people made their decision in verse 8, and all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. The point is simply that the people know that Moses is not only speaking of God, who remains hidden somewhere, but that the Lord has spoken audibly, so that all could hear. As you know, the people then begged the Lord not to speak to them anymore. They wanted Moses to continue speaking to them. You can read about this in particular in chapters 19 and 20. Here it is, in chapter 20, verses 18 and 19. And all the people saw the thunderings, and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. You can see that this was something that greatly impressed the people. There was the sound of trumpets, flaming lightning, thunder, and a smoking mountain. Everything was before the people. I rejoice every time I read in the scripture about instances where God personally revealed himself supernaturally on earth. One can say, write, and preach a great deal about God, but if God does not reveal himself as the living one, the present one, then no answer has been given to the people. Perhaps words, but no answer. Words are not always the answer. God has words, and God has deeds. Every time he revealed himself, the faith of those to whom he revealed himself was confirmed and strengthened. And I ask you, who among us does not need to have their faith strengthened? We all need to have our faith strengthened. We need new courage, new confidence to serve the Lord, to follow him, and so on. We are grateful to the Lord for the words that have already been read. There were four of them, and they were all wonderful. God bears us on eagle's wings. He has taken us upon himself and will carry us through to the end. What is also very important and indeed emphasized in Peter's letter is that God already says here in the Old Testament, in Exodus 19, we have read it together in verse 5, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, so not unwillingly, not resisting, but willingly obeying, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Roughly the same words are found in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, second part. Perhaps we will read verse 5 in its entirety. Yes, verse 5. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen." He has made us so. Just as in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were chosen from among many nations, so in the New Testament, the Church has been chosen from among all peoples, tongues, and nations as a divine possession by the power of redemption accomplished through Christ, in whom all peoples of the earth were to be blessed, not just one people, but all the peoples of the earth, as it is written, "In thee all nations of the earth shall be blessed," and they have been blessed through Jesus Christ our Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it is written, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." We could read the passages from the Old Testament in Hosea and so forth, where God said, "Those who did not seek me have been found by me, and those who were not my people shall be called sons of the living God." God did indeed have the entire plan of salvation proclaimed in advance through the prophets, which then took its course and will continue to do so until the end, according to the scripture in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, a word very familiar to us all. And here I'm thinking of people who wanted to forcibly Christianize the people of Israel, so to speak, and caused a great deal of harm. God has a plan for Israel. God has a plan for the church. And it is written in Romans chapter 11, from verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, or as the scripture says, whatever you want to use. In any case, it is written, "There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. It is precisely after this declaration that Paul writes in verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. We cannot fully comprehend why God has blinded his people in order to open our eyes, why he has taken them out in order to bring us in. But he has explained it here through Paul, already in the first verses of Romans chapter 11. You can all read for yourselves how this has been explained here. One could actually read from verse 11. "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness?" Their acceptance, when God turns again to the people of Israel, then, according to the prophet Isaiah, Israel will be a blessing in the midst of the earth for all nations. Thus it is written, and the two neighboring nations will then be a blessing together with the people of Israel on that day. Where is it written? Who among you knows? Here it is written, Isaiah chapter 19, from verse 23. "In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians shall serve the Lord with the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel mine inheritance, and Israel mine inheritance. You all know that Damascus will be smashed to rubble before the millennium. And so far we have seen that when Egypt lost the last war so badly and the army was surrounded, if Kissinger had not mediated at that time, they would all have died. And since then they have suffered defeat, and they know that no war can be won against Israel, because God is with his people. But those who do not yet know this will come to know it. And that is Assad. He does not know it yet, but he will receive it in writing. Namely, when what is written in Isaiah 17, verse 1 to 3 is fulfilled, and that will happen soon. The burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aroa are forsaken. They shall be for flocks, which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord of hosts. You could continue reading, and in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin. So first there will be a drought, and then in verse 7 it says, at that day shall a man look to his Maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel, and he shall not look to the altars, the work of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images, and so on. What can we say about this? We could go into a great deal. Here God will also organize a threshing of grain. This is written in the last verses of chapter 17 in Isaiah. Woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations, that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters. You all know, Revelation 17 says that the many waters on which the whore sits are peoples, tongues, and nations. And here the nations are stirred up like the sea, and they roar. Then it continues, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. And behold, at evening tide trouble, and before the morning he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us. God will render righteous judgment. He will strike down the enemies all around. This can be read in many scriptures, especially Ezekiel chapter 38, when the Lord himself will strike the final blow against the powers that will go to war to destroy the people of Israel. In chapter 38, Ezekiel 38, verse 22, it says, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. I do not like to read this passage from the Bible, because the nations are taught a lesson, and the Lord will deal with them. I just like to read it because I rejoice that God has put an end to all injustice and oppression of His people. He has put an end to what is wrong in order to make a new beginning for what is right in His sight. And for all those who are proud today and look at what they have done. By the way, I heard from the brother from Syria that Assad keeps asking what the Bible says about the people of Israel over and over again. Although he is an arch enemy, but he is neither a Sunni nor a Shiite. He belongs to another branch. There are over 60 branches of Islam. And he keeps asking what the Holy Scriptures say about Israel. And of course the brothers, including this brother who is a teacher, always quote a few passages, but they don't want to reveal what the Lord really says. Of course, if I were there, I wouldn't beat around the bush for long. I would say quite clearly, "Thus saith the Lord," in Ezekiel 38, and in Jeremiah, here and there. And then it would be over. But these people have to play a role. And you can read in Ezekiel 38 how it is actually written about the end times. Ezekiel 38, verse 8 says, "After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them." Could it be written any clearer? At the end of the days, at the end of the years, it will happen. Brought back from all nations, returned. Brother Winsky read how the Lord carried His people back then. Now He has brought them back again on eagle's wings. How many airplanes were used to bring them back? Among them, as it is written in Jeremiah 31, were the lame and the pregnant, and so on. They are all returning. And why are they returning? Because God has promised it and has so decreed in His holy counsel. Jeremiah 31, from verse 6. "For there shall be a day that the watchmen upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion, unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, Sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations." Do you realize who the chief is? "Among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping." Who has seen the film about Israel? How they wept and sobbed with inner emotion that they could set foot again in the promised land. "They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Yes, one could continue reading from verse 10, but I will only read verse 13. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. It is just wonderful when we read the prophetic word and know that we are close to the time when all these things will be fulfilled. One thing is certain, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will remain. And what He has promised, He will surely keep. And all His promises are yes and amen. We saw this somewhere. When the people of Israel celebrated the founding of the State of Israel on the 14th of May 1948, they rejoiced in a round dance and sang to the Lord their God, even though they did not recognize the time of their visitation. You know, I've been to Israel many times, and I can remember the day when I was there after the Six-Day War, full of joy that God had given them victory. I met the first soldier right at customs, in the barracks. And of course, I said a few things to him and expressed my joy. And at the end I said, "I'm glad that God has helped you." But he snapped at me. God helped us? We did it all ourselves. I didn't see God. I didn't see Him. And I thought, wait a minute, friend. You are a Jew. You are an Israelite. And you attribute everything to yourself? And I got into a conversation with him, of course. Why not? His English wasn't very good, and neither his point of view, but I still wanted to talk to him. And for the first time, I was astonished to meet an atheist among the Jews, but I gave him a chewing out. In the end, it was over. I really let him have it. I told him literally, when I meet a German or anyone else who is an atheist, it doesn't affect me the way it affects me here to meet a Jew who is an atheist. And in the end, I told him he should be ashamed, because the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob is the living God. And you all know, I owe nothing to anyone, so what should I fear? I can speak freely and openly about what is in my heart. But it did touch me deeply that this young man clearly expressed that he did not believe in God's help. It was quite different with our brother Goldner, who told us about the war. He is a colonel, or whatever he is in the army. In any case, he has fought in every war that has taken place so far. He has been in all five wars and can testify that God has always helped very much. And we are just so happy, not that the enemies have been defeated, but we are happy that Israel has been victorious. You know what I mean. For we are not gloating, but we are happy that God is with His people. But you also know the scripture. The veil is still over their eyes. You can read it for yourselves. Paul wrote it 2,000 years ago, and it is still the same today as it was then. But the time is very short, and then the change will come. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 14 says, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ."
weil sie nur in Christus weggenommen wird.
They can try as hard as they want. They can turn a Jew into a Gentile Christian or a Jewish Christian. They can do many things. But no evangelist can remove the veil. I think of the great American evangelist who spent a fortune organizing a banquet at his own expense at the King David Hotel in Jerusalem. He invited everyone who wanted to come to the banquet and wanted to proclaim Christ to them there. He told them about a loving father who sent a dear son. The people just shook their heads. He paid an expensive bill, but achieved nothing. The people of Israel do not need a great evangelist with a lot of money. They will wait until the two prophets come to them, and then the revelation of Jesus Christ will be proclaimed, and through Christ the veil will be lifted, and then they will see and recognize the meaning of all the prophetic words. Because then the time will have come when all these things will happen. Then there will be no need to explain them or interpret them, but rather, here you are, here it was fulfilled, here is the word. And one can go from scripture to scripture and then only say, today this scripture has been fulfilled before your eyes. The Lord Himself will take care of it. In verse 15 it says, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Turned to the Lord, not before, converted to the Lord. As we read in Romans 11, the Lord will come as the Redeemer from Zion, not from Mount Sinai, but from Zion, namely from Mount Moriah, which is located in Jerusalem, as an extension of Jerusalem. As you know, we stood on Mount Moriah and also on Mount Zion several times and looked over to the Mount of Olives. And it is just wonderful when you can visit a place and then have a clear picture of where everything is. It did me a lot of good. I actually wanted to speak to us as a large family this evening, to us here at this place. But I believe it is right for the Lord if I stop here, and then we'll thank the Lord. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You together, O God, for the great grace that has been bestowed upon us, Lord. Lord, we do not want to give glory to anyone else. Only You alone deserve the honor and praise for this, O Lord. Lord, we thank You for giving us grace and an open understanding for Your word, Lord, for the scriptures, Lord, which show us the way, Lord. Thanks be to You for this, Lord. Worship to Your name. Lord, we know we have read the scriptures for a long time, have not understood, and many read Your word, but still do not understand, Lord. But may You grant grace and enlightenment, Lord. For if You do not enlighten, if Your light does not shine, it remains dark. But thanks be to You, Lord. You have let Your light shine. Glorious Lord, worship be brought to You. Glory and praise and honor. I thank You for my brothers, for my sisters, for all, Lord, whom You have called and to whom You have given grace, Lord. Bless us now together, Lord, and continue to be with us, Lord. Bless all Your people, Lord. We also bring before You the prayer requests from Sister Binder from Poland. Help, Lord. Intervene, Lord, and give what is needed. Lord, all glory and praise be to Your name. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.